this is something that I like doing outside of work. This is not something that my organization have asked me to do or anything of that sort, but I'm just a curious person. I'm seeing AI taking over everywhere.
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR podcast, where we explore how forward-thinking HR leaders are preparing for disruption and redefining what it means to lead people in a changing world. I'm your host, as always, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary. Today's guest is Divya Divakaran, Director of Human Resources at EVS Engineering. Over her 18-plus year career, Divya has built HR departments from the ground up, championed talent strategy, and now leads a team spanning HR, branding, and office operations. But what sets her apart? She's rolling up her sleeves, as we speak maybe, because they're off camera, and building custom AI tools herself. No technical background, just curiosity, courage, and a hands-on mindset. Something we can all learn from. Divya, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Thomas. I'm excited to be part of this podcast. Yes, I am rolling up my sleeves.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about your kind of like background and as well as this the HR team that you built from scratch at EVS.
Yeah, so I did my MBA in the Mathis in India, and I started my career as a talent acquisition specialist and grew from there. So to back up a little bit, I did my MBA and I wanted to be a finance person. I was not keen in becoming an HR person. However, when I got hired, I was told that we did the personality assessment and all of that. And during the personality assessment, the company that I interviewed for, they basically said I would perform better as an HR than a finance person who was not that great with attention to detail. So they said, they suggested and offered me a job in HR. So that's how I got into HR, and I got into talent acquisition as a recruiter because of my personality to build relationship. I'm more of an outgoing person and all of that. So they felt that this would be a better fit for me. And for the first 2 years, I actually tried to really get out of HR and go to the finance department. I did everything I could to volunteer myself in the finance area and see how I could get in there. But as I was doing that, I realized within HR, there are areas which are payroll related, benefits, and there's more that I didn't know. And I was exposed to those areas and I got into payroll and benefits administration. And slowly from there, I moved into employee relations. And from the employee relations, I moved into being an HR business partner. And then from HR business partner, I was able to get into coaching and development and leadership development as an opportunity. So eventually, as I am here at EVS, I am doing the role of heading the HR department. Where at EVS, when I joined, we were around 72 employees. Right now, we are close to 230 employees. And that's been around 4.5 years since I joined. When I joined, there was no HR department. So it was interesting and challenging and fun to build the HR department from ground up. And now I oversee a team of 9 that includes not just the HR group, but also branding and also office administration. We do end-to-end, starting from talent acquisition to actually starting from branding, talent acquisition, talent development, talent management, and office administration.
Was there a moment when you stopped fighting the moniker of being in HR and wanted to continue in it and actually started embracing it?
Yes, it was actually when I was given the recognition by my leaders that I am doing good. And actually, to take it back, I remember there was one time when a candidate really appreciated my involvement in getting them that offer, job offer. And that actually gave me a sense of satisfaction. And I felt this is probably the light up or a bulb moment or whatever we should call. That's when I felt like maybe this is the calling that I had and I didn't really realize.
So fast forward today. So you have a team of nine working on, and granted, be a little bit beyond HR as well. But then if that's the case, tell me, why are you spending your own time working on building some things with GPTs versus having your team work with you on that?
First thing, my team is swamped, as I am as well. But this is my passion project. This is something that I like doing outside of work. This is not something that my organization have asked me to do or anything of that sort. But I'm just a curious person. I'm seeing AI taking over everywhere. And I keep getting asked to test or demo of certain products and give them feedback and all of that, right? So when I'm being part of all of those conversations and I'm seeing what is possible in the AI world, I was just curious. I have my husband who is a techie, who is into all of this as well. And he was building something and I was like, okay, tell me how to do this. And I worked with him. I better at what he's been doing and I would create all of that in my area and see how that would work for from HR perspective. How can we make HR's life easier at the same time, the employee's life easier as well. So if I'm able to build that, it's in a very starting stage. So it's too early for me to involve my team members to get into this project when there is a lot more other things that we have implemented recently. So we just implemented Workday. So that itself is a huge project, which my team is busy with, that we are also building EVS University. So that's also something that my team is busy with. So with EVS University, we are building the course from scratch. So it's not like we are buying courses, online courses, but we are building the courses for EVS. So it's just quite a lot of effort and manpower where my team is focusing on. So I just want to roll up my sleeves and do this on my own. And if it works out, great, I would bring my team in.
So can you tell us more about what use case you are experimenting with?
Yes. So I'm experimenting it with two, basically. One is on the HR policies, general policies and procedures that every new hire or even experienced hires don't really go in and check on a day-to-day basis on the on certain policies like jury duty. If I have been called for a jury duty, what is the process like? Instead of them going through a policy manual, yeah, they can do a control F and find it. But it is even more easier for them to just ping and ask one of us. So instead of them asking one of us, I'm just creating this GPT model in such a way that it is more of a chat box or ask HR module where they can just chat with that chat bot to know the policy. And the other thing that I'm testing out is coaching and development on. Nobody teaches people how to be a supervisor or manager immediately. That is something that people learn. And no matter how many learning and development courses that we build, it is still a lot of effort for people to really sit through those courses and retake those information on a get that hands-on experience, right? So coaching is much more easier. And if people are comfortable, and I'm seeing more and more people using ChatGPT for all kind of questions, right? So it is not just related to any random, okay, help me with this code or anything, but they are also asking questions like, okay, help me plan this trip, or I'm having this situation in my life or in my work. How do I handle this? How do I draft this email? I want to ask for a raise to my manager. How do I draft this email? So instead of it being general ChatGPT response, I would like to create something which is more tailored for my organization. I know the organization's culture. I know the organization's values and leadership better. So it is better for me to feed the data to my GPT, so EVS GPT, so that it is more of tailored for our employees to get that response the way how I would respond instead of it. coming from a general ChatGPT.
I love that. So before we go more in depth, I just wanted to make an observation and tell me if you agree with this. Because earlier you mentioned that there's so many opportunities with AI to both improve the employee experience, so the customers and what we're offering for them, as well as to improve efficiencies for the HR department as well. And if I think about the two examples that you had, HR policies and really HR service delivery, I think having a solution like this can improve the experience for employees because you can find information instantly faster that answers your question and obviously improves efficiencies because you're not reaching out to you at all. And similarly on this coaching side, similarly on the coaching side, there are opportunities for the HR team to be more effective because you're potentially multiplying your time in some ways, but then also for employees, it's making it more a better experience because you're able to, I think in this case, tell me if you agree or not, actually ask things of an AI that you may not even feel comfortable asking your HR rep.
Yeah. No matter how much we talk about, I speak a lot about psychological safety in an organization and building a culture where people feel safe to open up and ask any questions or concerns and bring it up to anybody without any fear of repercussions. But the harsh reality is it requires a lot of courage in our employees to be able to just come out of that shell and not feel like they will be judged or anything like that. And they feel much more comfortable asking AI than to a real person because they feel like, okay, an AI will not judge them, but a real person could judge them. There could be repercussions and all of that, right? So it's helpful for me to create such an environment for our employees to be able to ask such things anonymously. And I'm also trying to see if there is a way for me to get data without knowing who is asking what, but through the GPT, if I could get a data that could shed some light as to what kind of questions are people asking and wanting to know answers to, and that could help me, again, tailor answers and feed the data into the system.
So you're getting very hands-on, I think probably more so than many others. First of all, you're in the context of a technology company where throughout the functions, people are, I imagine, leveraging AI for all types of workflows in other parts of the organization. Or do you think you're in HR, how you're using it is like a little bit more ahead of the curve?
Yeah, it is actually. I work for an engineering consulting firm. When I say engineering consulting firm, it's renewable energy. So we have civil electrical, so it's really hardcore engineering consulting firm, not really technology-based organization. But then we do have an AI team that we have recently created. So there is a new team that is being built, and they are focusing primarily on automation and efficiency for the engineering products that we are delivering. So from the HR side, I'm kind of ahead of the curve in terms of looking at, this is not really a revenue generating product or anything at this point, but this is more of a support tool for the organization that I want to build.
So do you think if you are looking across your peer set, across organizations like HR executives, do you think folks should be more hands-on with AI like you, or do you think it's actually just about right, finding the right partners, or in general, how do you look at the current landscape when you look at HR leadership and their stance towards AI?
I see a mixed response. I would say there are people who are really worried about AI, and there are people who are embracing AI. And I don't know I have not yet spoken to very many people who are being hands-on in developing AI tool for themselves. They are partnering with other AI organizations that could develop their vision, but I've not seen very many people who are being hands-on in developing their own tool.
So do you think the HR function should be adopting more, whether like building, partnering, however it is, but we're like moving a pace in terms of adopting tools?
Yeah, I would say it is important. If not now, then in 3 to 5 years' time, they will be late to the game. So it is better for them to start ahead, get a head start into the AI area so that they are ahead of the curve. They understand what are the capabilities that could come through AI. And there's always improvement, right? Continuous improvement. And as we all start working on this, then we will start seeing use case scenarios. Then we will be able to see that, okay, this is a possibility. Oh, this could have been done. So we can keep on improving, more people utilizing it, better. I don't know. I'm just struggling to get that right word. Like, more people utilizing AI, we would be able to get the best out of that product, I would say.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show. So to get there, though, I want to get your thoughts on something I call that's like the vicious cycle. So you mentioned how your team is overwhelmed right now. There's a lot of projects. There's a lot being asked of them, and both from the employee base, the executives, all your stakeholders, technology implementations that are going on. And so there's no time. There's no time to go in and experiment or learn about what is next. But then how do you solve for that when, on the other hand, we say that if you're not, as an HR team, having your hands in on projects and like looking at whether it's to improve the employee experience or to improve efficiencies for your team, if you're not working on those things, you're going to be left behind in a certain period of time. But on the other hand, there's all these demands constantly. How do we break through that?
Yeah, that is where it comes through the passion. If you are really aspiring to grow in the organization, grow in your field of expertise, then get hands on. I mean, like, I wouldn't say do it during the work hours if that is what is, if there is 8 hours in a day, and if you can dedicate 1 hour a day to explore this, great. Work with your managers to see if there's a possibility, if you have genuine interest in technology and developing something. I don't know if that is a possibility for all the HRs. Every organization is different. I can only speak for my organization, my team. And if my team members are expressing that they are interested in doing what I'm doing, I have already shared with them as to what I'm doing. And there are a couple of them who are interested. I showed them what I'm doing. So it is up to them. They have access to it. So they can play around with it and show it to me as to what they are building. So that's one project, side project, if they want to do it. And if they have the capacity to do it and capability to do it, but I wouldn't expect them to do it at this point. What I would say to other HR leaders is your team members are the doers. So they have to do what they have to do to keep the company running and all of that, support to the organization, all of those. But as HR leaders, you lead by being an example. You can carve out some time if you're able to get started in this, and then your team will follow you. I always believe in leading by being an example. So if I'm not doing anything and I'm just pushing it to my team, I don't think my team would be motivated enough to explore on their own.
And let's talk about in some ways, like build versus buy, or like partner versus like build. There's like a learning component. Obviously, that's pretty helpful if you want to go into the concept of not just prompting, but building your own custom GPT. And there's like layers of that you can go into, all the way into building an agentic product, theoretically, I think. But you can also partner with someone, for whatever the use case is, right? How do you think about that? Obviously, from a software standpoint, you're not building an HRIS, you're partnering with a vendor that is, you know, that, and you're going to implement that to make sure that you can provide for payroll and HR systems and everything. How do you think about that in this cycle with where we are with AI, about build, buy, partner?
If you are able to buy, that's great. If you have enough budget to do that, and if you have a clear vision of what that would look like, if you're able to provide a business case scenario to get that from the HR side, that's great for your organization. But since AI is so new, I don't know if there is a strong business case scenario that we could come up with to get that budget that could actually show a strong return on investment at this point. So that's why I am leaning more toward building. And that would also help me to be able to test it out, different scenarios to see what is possible and what is not. When I'm going with buying, it is what, I mean, they have something that they have built already and I'm just buying that. I don't know if there is a possibility of tailoring it for my needs and say, for example, what I am looking for, one is CoachBot and the other one is basically a chatbot, right? Then in that, if I'm going with buying, I have to buy two different products. Maybe I have to go to two different vendors to buy these two products and in assemble all of this together. But if there are organizations that are building everything in one, then, and if we have the budget, then yeah, I think that buying is also an easier way of having to build it all by yourself.
So Divya, you've been working on this concept of coaching for managers and especially new managers, and almost this concept of micro coaching and something that's personalized for a specific manager. Tell me about the inspiration and the vision that you had this kind of a product and interaction.
Yeah, so as a first-time manager, it is really new for a first-time manager to experience a lot of scenarios and situations that they would deal with in terms of people development. Not technical development might be easy for them. That's really on a day-to-day basis something that they are doing, technical training and all of that. But when it comes to people development, when a team member comes and asks a question like, okay, I'm getting another offer, or a recruiter is reaching out to me with the compensation offer of this, what can the company do for me? Then that's a question that a first-time manager wouldn't have experienced yet on how to respond. And they can always come to the HR or their managers for feedback as to like, how do I handle this? But not always a manager and the HR will be available for them immediately. So if I'm your team member and I'm coming and asking you, it is better for you to be able to respond immediately than saying, okay, I will get back to you. I will listen to everything and then I'll get back to you. That is not really a solid credibility for you. So it is better for you to quickly chat or use the coach bot and ask, okay, this is what my team member is asking. How do I respond? Then the coach bot that I have developed, that is basically my cloning or my feed, how I would respond to the manager is how that would respond. And that would help them have that conversation. And a later point, they can always come and talk to me as HR as to, okay, this is what happened. This is how I responded. What is it that we can actually do for this employee? And what is our pay range like? Is there room and all of that? Discussion could happen in person with the manager. However, the first time response or like immediate response or how to handle these situations and build the credibility and trust with the team members is important. And that's where I felt like it would be good to develop this coach bot, which is a go-to for our managers to ask anything related to, okay, a team member is asking, I want to go work remote for a month. We have a temporary distance work policy. I want to work remote, but the manager would not know all the details of the policy immediately. So instead of saying, go talk to the HR, they can just do a quick search as to, okay, this is what this person is. This is the location that this person is going to go. Is this okay as per EBS policy? Then they have the answer immediately and they can just deliver it. So they will be the first point of contact instead of them going to the HR. And they are building the trust. They are building the credibility. The employees feel comfortable going to the manager and the manager is setting a stage where the employees feel comfortable going to them, at the same time also help coach and develop them to be successful.
So when, as you're building to enable this kind of product for your managers, what have been some practical challenges that you've faced along the way?
To be honest, I have not implemented any of these. So this is in the testing phase for me. I'm doing this. So I'm using my husband as the patient stinger. So he will be the one who is actually testing all of the scenarios and based on what he is going through at his organization. So we are doing this in our personal computer. So it is all an outside of project. So I have not got into this yet. So the challenge, I would say, is the hiccup what we are seeing right now is more of if my husband, when he's testing this, if he's asking a question that I have not given data to the GPT, then that is where I am seeing it giving some random answers, but not at all relevant. So I have to make sure that I'm thinking through every single scenario that would come through and load it in. And so that is where the challenge is, basically. So I need to make sure that I'm thinking through.
So there's, yeah, retrieval augmented generation as a technique to also prevent hallucinations, but that you're getting into. But even more directly, there's some ethical questions as well. So if you're basically replacing an experienced, credentialed person with a bot to answer, in this case, potentially sensitive questions, which also have a second order effect because you're trying to enable managers, the cost of getting it wrong could be quite high depending on what the potential question is, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so those have been kind of areas that in my experience, causes a lot of HR professionals to just stop short and just say, there's going to be many other use cases that need to mature before a mind come to the fore with this kind of technology. What do you say to that kind of, I guess, mindset or I guess response to facing these kind of challenges?
Yeah. So when that happened, I agree with that. I mean, ethical issues might come up, and that's why I am being more and more mindful about the kind of speed or data feed that we are putting into the system. And if there are sensitive questions that are being asked, at that point, my response for those kind of questions would basically be stop, talk to HR, instead of the GPT giving some random answers. It should be more of, okay, these kind of questions, it is stop, go and talk to HR, talk to Divya, talk to Bailey. So that would be the response that I am trying to feed and enable it with, instead of just giving it all the answers, or if in case GPT just decides to give some answers, which I don't think it is, again, how we build it, right? That's why it is better for us to build it so we know what we are developing and testing. So that,
just to wrap up a little bit, maybe we can look forward a bit about where the function might be headed. Let's say there's two teams 2 to 3 years from now. One HR team is dramatically doing well, successful. Another one is not having much buy-in with the executive team, not making much of an impact, and doesn't really have a seat at the table when it comes down to being effective in the organization or driving business decisions. What do you think is the distinction as you look forward? What has one team done and versus another team that would separate them if you look forward?
I would say would be the difference between the two teams, basically, is one team would have been more tactical and doing what is being asked of them and not being proactive, not thinking ahead, not staying abreast of the technology and the possibilities of being more involved in the business development, like growing the business. Instead, they might be more of, okay, I will do what is being asked of me, and I'll get things going, which is also good because they are helping and supporting the organization the way they are expected to be. but the other team might be more involved. They would be having seat at the table because they are contributing to the success of the organization. They have data points that shows that HR team is not just a cost center, but also a profit center in a way, because they are contributing to the biggest resources of the organization, which is human resources. And they are looking at providing value to the organization by supporting the human resources in a way, by developing their talents, making sure that we have an org design that is helpful for the organization's growth and development and helping with the scale up of the organization. At the same time, there are tools and technologies provided, resources provided for the people who are doing their work, so they are being more operationally efficient as well.
Thank you for that, for kind of projecting ahead, right? The kinds of things that need to be expressed more to be successful as an HR team of the future, because that's really what we try to get into with future-proofing HR here on this show. So we've really delved into this experimenter mindset here with you, Divya, and I appreciate the depth that you're going in to really struggle with and understand at a practical level what it means to try to even build a custom GPT, and then the kinds of layers of challenges that you come across as you try to push that into something that would actually be useful for employees. And that mindset of being the example for the rest of your team, I think really resonates for me, because if you're not experimenting and trying something like yourself, you're not going to be able to get that mindset in to a team, which is, as you're saying, as many HR teams are completely bogged down in so many tactical things. And it's really hard to lift your head out of that, because as we just projected out into the future, a lot of those things that we are bogged down in will be going into the background as administrative work that is done more and more with automation and with AI. And so we need to make sure that our whole function is in a place where we have been reskilling all along, so that we are successful and ready for that future. I really look forward to seeing how this project goes. I hope it blossoms from side project to something that you are comfortable rolling out bit by bit into your org. And to everyone out there who's listening and who's looking to future-proof your own organizations and your own HR functions, I hope you found some value in this great conversation with Divya, as I did, because there is a call to action there. So go, whatever LLM you guys are using, go take it to the next level, build something that is customized on top of that, that you can leverage for your own org. The use cases are endless. Got some great ideas right here on this show. So with that said, thank you, Divya, once again for this conversation. And to everyone out there, I'll see you on the next one. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Tones.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on, or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slack bot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.